This hour is supported by Robbins Kaplan, LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian Country.
Live from Macho Blue Earth, Robbins Kaplan Studios, Native Roots Radio.
We went to all the powwows when we were young. At that time, children could not dance. Only people over 50 years of age could dance. Most people do not know this, that the government forbid children to dance Indian. And that was so they could wipe out the culture of the young people, and then finally the new generation would never know what
happened. I'm a member of the American Indian Movement, and I'm from the indigenous nations of the Western Hemisphere.
We American Indians, we can be anything we want to be, except American Indians.
You were here long before any of us were here.
Buju, everybody. My name is Peggy Flanagan. Guabagani Gadikagna Jujuba. I'm from the White Earth Nation, and my family's the Wolf Clan.
There's trouble in Custer, South Dakota yesterday.
That the American Indian Movement is a very proud, continuing part of American Indian society. I thank you.
But what I tell you is that we are not backing down. We are here, we will stand here, because we have been here for 10,000 years. We're the home team, and we're not going anywhere. We're rich.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Ahu Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunjahade Hingadena. Let's start the show with the news with Oglema.
Buju, and welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Miigwech, and thank you for tuning in and sharing our show. My name is Oglema Gnu Ikwe. Today is Saturday, November 21st, 2020, and I'm here with some news and updates from Turtle Island this week. I'm starting today's show with a sentiment I usually end my segment with. At this time, we must all warrior up and protect our relatives by staying home. Another shutdown mandated by Minnesota Governor Tim Walz takes effect this week. If you must go out, leave only for essential items, wear a mask, and wash or sanitize your hands frequently. Schools, bars, restaurants, gyms, and sports must close for in-person services and activities for another 4 weeks at least. Failure to act now by following the stay-at-home orders has deadly consequences. Now more than ever, we must rely on our culture, communities, and one another to stay healthy and keep everyone safe. In the last 2 weeks, the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, has seen more than 900 employees sick with COVID-19. 1,500 total staff are on work restrictions related to COVID-19 exposures or are unable to work due to a COVID-19 diagnosis. Ginger Plumbo, spokesperson for the Mayo Clinic Midwest, told NBC News that about 93% of the staff that tested positive contracted the virus from community spread. This means they did not contract the virus through the course of their work. The Mayo Clinic has been forced to shuffle healthcare workers across state lines and call retired healthcare workers back to the workforce and to the front lines. Amy Williams is the Dean of Clinical Practices at Mayo Clinic. She said that the intensive care unit at its Rochester, Minnesota campus was at full capacity as of Tuesday. She urged the community in a press conference and said, "Our staff are being infected mostly due to community spread, and this impacts our ability to care for our patients." In more news of COVID-19, deployment of the National Guard has been approved to assist the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. On Monday, Red Lake Chairman Daryl Secchi said that 19 residents and 13 staff of the Jordan Perpich Extended Care Facility tested positive for coronavirus. Indian Country Today reports that Minnesota Governor Tim Walz authorized state National Guard nurses for deployment to the facility as early as Monday. In Manitoba, Canada, new COVID-19 public health orders prohibit people from having anyone inside their home who doesn't live there, with a few exceptions, and prohibits businesses from selling non-essential items in stores. Businesses must remove non-essential items from the shelves or rope off the areas. Chief Provincial Public Health Officer Dr. Brent Rusin and others pleaded with Manitobans to stay home and only go out for essential items. The orders went into effect on Friday, except the rule requiring businesses to prevent access to non-essential items, which comes into effect today. These orders will remain in effect in Manitoba until at least December 11th. COVID-19 saliva testing from home is now available in Minnesota. You can order a test online and then take it from the safety of your home with online guidance from a testing supervisor. Adults and children can use the test, and if you do not have insurance, it will be free of cost. Results will be sent to you 24 to 48 hours after your results are received at the lab. Expedited shipping is provided with the test. For more information, go to health.state.mn.us and click coronavirus information from the main page, and then follow the link for testing. The instructions are available in several languages. As we all know, this virus is disproportionately affecting communities of color and low income at this time. Please make sure to share this information within your communities. In more news from Minnesota, Governor Tim Walz and the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency are facing severe criticism from the Anishinaabe and Environmental Protector communities. Walz and the MPCA approved various permits for Enbridge's Line 3 oil pipeline on November 12th. The result of that approval is that now some 4,000 out-of-state workers were also approved to come to Minnesota to start construction on the pipeline as early as next month. The approval was granted less than a week before the strict state shutdown orders went into effect again due to the coronavirus pandemic. Following the news of the MPCA and governor's approval of the permits, 12 out of the 17 Minnesota Pollution Control Agency advisory group members resigned in protest on Tuesday. They cited their resignations as fueled by Commissioner Laura Bishop's approval for a key water permit that pushes Line 3 closer to construction. Their resignation letter states, "We cannot continue to legitimize and provide cover for the MPCA's war on black and brown people." Early Wednesday morning, Unicorn Riot reports that two people locked themselves to equipment intended to be used for Enbridge's Line 3 tar sands oil pipeline. The action took place in Two Inlets, Minnesota, and was organized by the GNU Collective. The two allies responsible are Mira Grinsfelder and Betsy Foy, both from the state's capital in St. Paul. GNU Collective founder Tara Hauska told the Unicorn Riot, "Governor Walz said we need to act boldly on climate. Then he approved the largest tar sands infrastructure project in North America through Anishinaabe territory. If his administration won't stand up to big oil, we will." In lighter and more national news, Joy Harjo, the first Native American to serve as the U.S. Poet Laureate, will serve a third one-year term. Harjo's reappointment was announced by the Library of Congress on Thursday. Harjo is an enrolled member of the Muscogee or Creek Nation. She is the 23rd U.S. Poet Laureate. She will be only the second person in the position's history to serve a third term, which will begin in September. In other national news, support is growing to encourage President-elect Joe Biden to nominate Representative Deb Haaland of New Mexico as Secretary of the Department of the Interior. Haaland is a tribal citizen of the Pueblo of Laguna in New Mexico. Last week, 120 tribal leaders sent a letter to the President-elect calling for the incoming administration to select Haaland for the position, as reported by Native News Online. Representative Sharice Davids, a citizen of the Ho-Chunk Nation in Wisconsin, made history with Haaland in 2018 when they were the first two Native American women ever elected to Congress. Both won re-election earlier this month. As always, thank you for tuning in to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. My name is Ogama Ganuikwe, and back to you, Wakanjahade.
Pinigigi Ogama for the news. We'll be right back. Up next, Winona LaDuke.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a free, confidential, and anonymous domestic, dating, and sexual violence helpline available at 1-844-762-8483 or by using the Chat Now icon at strongheartshelpline.org. Advocates offer daily support and referrals for resources, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time.
This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanjahade. We love hearing from Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and Winona is doing their creator's work up in the deep north, and we're checking in with Winona. Winona, welcome.
Thank you. Minogijigud. It's a good day. I just drove by a nice buffalo herd, and now I'm going out to see how far Enbridge has invaded our communities this week.
It's not even funny. It's just like, I mean, I see ads now on Facebook for man camp rentals. It's sickening with this pandemic and everything, Winona.
Yeah, I mean, this last week was really appalling to many of us. And as you know, the MPCA issued the permits, the 401 water quality permits, saying that Enbridge was good to go on a pipeline that should never be built and will not be built. And in that, you know, saying that they had discussed environmental justice, 12 of the 17 members of the Environmental Justice Advisory Group resigned, including myself, because why would you be talking about environmental justice and then approve this pipeline, which has such egregious impacts on a Native community and on environmental justice? It was really a joke, you know, that MPCA acted as if they had discussed and thought about that. So really discouraged by the Walz administration. And then, you know, what's so interesting to me, Robert, is like in the midst of this, you know, on November 12th, Walz, you know, MPCA approves Enbridge Line 3 permits as if it's all good. Next day, Governor Whitmer of Michigan denies, in fact, withdraws the easement under the Straits of Mackinac for Enbridge's Line 5.
Mm-hmm.
Two governors. And what Whitmer said was, the public trust doctrine requires that I protect the Great Lakes and the people of Michigan. And I'm going to use the public trust doctrine to protect our people. You know, remarkable to me that Governor Walz doesn't feel that there's a public trust doctrine at stake here. And then in the midst of a pandemic, it is appalling what we are seeing unrolling in northern Minnesota right now. It is really appalling. Well, we are seeing, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it's just discouraging to hear him talk out of both sides of his mouth with the COVID restrictions and then all of a sudden opening up the deep north there with all these man camps and workers for the pipeline.
Yeah, I mean, let me just describe what a man camp looks like up here, because Enbridge has certain things it's not supposed to do. Like, really, it's not supposed to really have man camps. It's not supposed to engage in counterinsurgency. That's really interesting how that is manifest. That was like a post-DAPL discussion, but, you know, I had discussions with the governor's staff and the police, and I was like, well, who's in charge of the unlicensed security guards in northern Minnesota? Who's in charge of all of that? And you know, in the meantime, we've seen Enbridge try to destabilize tribal governments on White Earth and on the Bad River Reservation, and we've seen a lot of thugs coming into our neck of the woods. And so I feel like I'm pretty sure that Enbridge is already engaging in counterinsurgency. But in the meantime, the public health is really threatened by this pipeline, you know, because those individuals are going into campgrounds is where they are moving into. That's where they're moving into. They are setting up like maybe a few man camps, but there are places all over Park Rapids or, you know, listed, you know, pipeliners come here. And so they're moving into these rural communities that already have skyrocketing levels of COVID. And a county like Aiken County has 4 ICU beds in it and expects 700 workers. It's like, that doesn't make any sense, Governor. You know, it's time really for a just transition. It's time to quit fighting over rocks and pipes, you know, time to move on. Jeepers.
Exactly.
So I'm out to look at what's going on and apprise my tribal members of the of what is going on in the public, because, you know, public land is being taken for private corporations and I don't like it. So, that's what we're doing. And on the other side, I'm planning some awesome feasts, because we're grateful to the harvest that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And grateful for that get out the vote work again. We were gloating about it a little bit last week, but Robert, we rocked this.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's really, we got to remember too, in 2 years, we have another election too. So we got to keep this momentum going. And also, one of the things I'd like to ask you is, Peggy Flanagan went against the governor with a statement. How can we support Peggy Flanagan in that resistance towards her partner and governor?
well, you know, the common sense is on Peggy's side. I mean, no other pipeline project has been approved, so why would you approve a tar sands pipeline at the end of the fossil fuel era? Why would you do that? You know, what we need is jobs. What we need is a way out. And that's this governor's opportunity, an opportunity to create a just transition, a Green New Deal, real jobs in the North Country, small-scale manufacturing, solar, renewable energy, you know, rebuilding infrastructure that we need, all the stuff that we don't, that we import from China, make it in Minnesota. You know, what we need is vision and not to have our state dragged into a human rights crisis by a Canadian multinational corporation that's at the end of its pipeline lifetime. You know, I'm saddened and I'm grateful. I am grateful to, Peggy Flanagan for standing up for our water. And we're going to be all standing up for our water, you know, thousands of us. And so, masking up and standing up, Governor, your turn.
Exactly. Any other updates up there before I let you go? I know you're doing a lot of great work up there, and we're going to be going soon. Native Roots Radio is going to be on 5 days a week, so I can imagine us being up there in the deep north doing a couple shows, especially when this, and I hate to use the word heats up, but it's already heated up.
Yeah, and the gas is getting thrown on it. 1st of December, we expect them to unroll holy hell up here. And so, you know, bring warm clothes, come visit. We're going to release a water protector, welcome water protector campaign, explaining places you can go and see. And so keep apprised of that. I'm grateful. I got, this time to be here to guide our future. And, for myself, I'm going to do my best, as we all are, and, stay in the saddle. I just want to report, Robert, that I rode a big horse bareback that I'd never ridden bareback. That was so we all grow and learn every day. And that's the horse that sat on me 5 years ago. So this is the first time I got back on him. So get back in, if you get bucked, get back on and keep going. That's what I'd say.
Wow. That's perfect. That's perfect way to end this. Peeny Gigi, for being on and all you do for us, all here on Turtle Island. We're so really proud and blessed to have you on our show each week, and we'll be talking to you soon, Winona.
Me great, thank you. And you have a good day, Robert. Rock on.
Right on, you too. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back with State Senator Mary Kunish.
Hami Takebi, Madison Hanmiacho, Oyatami Talakin, Ogwala Nabitawakatwa, and we chalk you up each stop. Hello, my relatives. My name is Madison Hand, and I'd like to remind you of the ways we can keep each other safe during the COVID-19 pandemic. Right now, COVID cases are higher in number than ever before in our communities, making it more important to follow safety guidelines than ever before. Each individual choice we make will have widespread consequences for all of us. Being safe helps keep people out of the hospital. Help those around you by doing the following. Wear a mask and make sure your mask covers your mouth and nose. Social distance in public as best as you can. Get tested if you are possibly exposed to COVID. And stay home if you feel sick. Remember, our choices directly affect the health of our family, friends, and community. Free masks are available. Visit ramseycounty.us/a mask for everyone. This information guide is brought to you by Ramsey County and Ramsey County Investment and Support Efforts.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We're so proud and happy to have House Representative, former House Representative Mary Kunish, now State Senator. Let's take a listen to what she has to say this week.
How metake yape. It is State Representative Mary Kunish Podein, Senate-elect come January. And today is November 20th. It's a big day because today is my birthday. And I share this special birthday with my twin brother, Bill, who lives in California, and a very dear friend, Karina Berry. So I want to wish them an extra happy birthday today. We have been busy getting ready for the legislative session that's going to be starting, I believe, January 5th. I need to clean up my desk at the the House of Representatives, the building, and then I need to get it moved over to the Senate building. That'll be exciting. I don't know what my office will be or where it will be, but I hope you come visit me when I get over there. Lots of new legislators, both on the House and the Senate side. And so we've been going through little bits and pieces of introduction and getting ourselves ready so that we can hit the ground running come January. But one interesting thing that happened in the state legislature this week was that two of our DFL longtime senators announced that they were leaving our Minnesota Senate DFL caucus to form their own independent caucus. So Senator Bach of Cook County, he's been a senator since 2003, and Senator Dave Tomasoni of Chisholm, who has been a senator since 2001, have decided that they would like to create their own little caucus. And caucuses is basically just like a team or a club or a group. So they've decided that they are going to remove themselves from the general DFL caucus and become their own little caucus in order to become more bipartisan and more moderate. They feel that our DFL caucus has moved way to the left too far. But so they've decided that they're going to move aside and see what they can do independent of the DFL caucus and perhaps align themselves a bit with the Republican Party. I think that they have been promised some good spots on committees as committee chairs. And so we'll see how that goes and how that affects our Senate. In Minnesota, the Republicans have the majority in the Senate, but the Democrats have the majority in the House. And so with that split legislature and then a DFL governor, we could have some interesting going-ons in the legislature this next time around. But I sure hope not. I hope that we find a way to really work together well and make it focused on what the folks need, especially as we work through this COVID-19 pandemic. And speaking of that, this week we had a little bit of good news, even though our COVID-19 numbers are rising pretty alarmingly. But Governor Walz received a $1.2 million donation, or I should say our state received that $1.2 million donation from the IKEA U.S. Community Foundation, and that is to be used most specifically for mental health issues. The governor recognized that mental health is a serious issue right now and is again on the rise. So many people experiencing anxiety due to the pandemic, loss of jobs, kids are home, distance learning, parents have to stay home and work with them. And that is a huge struggle. I hear it every day when I am at school. Folks calling in, parents calling, grandparents calling, kids calling, and saying how they're struggling to access the technology and the resources that they need. So this IKEA grant is going to really be valuable in providing resources to our students who probably are experiencing mental health programs, the isolation, not being able to be with their friends, the fact that maybe their parents have lost their jobs and are now, possibly losing their homes or their rental place because they aren't able to pay the rent. So this will go a long way in helping those mental health issues. And I think if we can get that access to our Native communities, that's going to be really, really important because we have, our population of American Indian and Alaska Natives is around, I think it's almost 61,000. And although we were, of course, the original people here in Minnesota, we really only account for about 1.1% of the population. And I've spoken of this before, but the health disparities in Minnesota by our American Indian folks is quite alarming. And of course, they're basically tied biologically to our race, but there are also the social inequities and poverty that we have experienced over generation. And so the concept of life and health in our American Indian community is really important. And it includes our spiritual, our emotional, our mental, and our physical health. And in this time, that imbalance, and it's been imbalanced for generations, is even more significant during this pandemic. And it's a historic issue because of the lack of access to healthy food, preventative health care, and that includes dental care. But one of the things that has rarely been an issue or an availability is mental health care for our American Indian community. And clinical depression and other mental health conditions are so common among our community. And that's why we probably have, high alcohol and drug use. So many people use those chemicals that are devastating to our bodies to self-medicate. We know that epigenetics, the study of how our genes are changed due to trauma generation by generation, explains a lot of the reasons for the addiction issues that we have in our communities. And we also have the highest rate of suicide of any racial and ethnic group in the United States, and those rates have been increasing since 2003. And again, those are traced back to genocide, forced relocation. Our languages were banned, and kids were beaten at schools if they used it. We were we experienced loss of cultural practices, and of course, we were so many of our Native people were considered second class citizens, even in the legal, even in the law practices. And, those are all the things that attribute the mental health issues that we are experiencing here and now. And so let's hope that a big chunk of that money that's going to be coming down the pike from that grant will be also available to our American Indian communities. Our healthcare providers are stretched thin with this pandemic, and most mental health providers have had to go to teletherapy, through the computer or Zoom calls or phone calls, and it loses that personal touch. But let's hope that we are able to eventually come out of this a little bit better at the end of the day. But there was one really good piece of news, and that is the fact that our poet laureate Joy Harjo is once again our U.S. Poet Laureate. She's going to serve a rare third term in this capacity. So she was the first Native American poet to serve as our U.S. Poet Laureate. She's been reappointed a third time, very rare, and that appointment comes from the Library of Congress. So Harjo is an enrolled member of the Muscogee Creek Nation, and she was originally appointed in 2019. So every year they appoint a new one. And she recognizes what an honor it is to be a poet, an Indigenous person in this position. And one of the quotes that I read I thought was pretty good. She said, "Some of us are astronauts, some of us are really good at fixing cars, but at the end of the day, we are all human beings, and some of us write poetry, and it makes a doorway of hope." And so Harjo shows that poetry can help steady us and nurture us. And I don't know if you've read any of her books, but they're really deep, and they do speak to the heart and to the soul of our American Indian folks. And she has a new book out. It is called Living Nations, Living Words. It's a project that she just launched during this Native American Heritage Month. So happy Native American Heritage Month. And it's sort of an online map of collections of biographies and recordings from dozens of our contemporary Native poets across the country. And so it's just a fascinating, fascinating compilation of poetry. And I hope that you will look for it. It's called Living Nations, Living Words with Joy Harjo. And so that is the end of my session today. I wish you all health and happiness. And please, Thanksgiving coming up, please, please, please be careful and wash your hands, wear your mask, and try to distance from your family, as hard as that will be. Take care. Wopala Tonka.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. You know, I am so, so proud and excited to have met this person that we're going to have on. And we have on pretty frequently here on Native Roots Radio. And I know she does the Sunday Symposium every week. And she was formerly a candidate for a District 4, the Moorhead area. Now she is elected House Representative. Heather Keeler, thank you so, so much for spending some time with us.
Thanks, Robert. It's always great to be here. Thanks for the opportunity to join you.
Yeah, I'm just curious because I saw some pictures pop up and some pictures at the Capitol with you in your ribbon skirt. And I just want to tell our people across Turtle Island your experience and orientation as being a House Representative this week and how proud we are. And I know how excited you are.
Yeah, well, it has been really interesting. You know, like you get elected and then all of a sudden you jump into this world of, you know, just really moving forward into things. And so this week we did our orientation and, you know, unfortunately things are very virtual right now, which I think is the incoming class. We're kind of missing out on that opportunity to really connect with each other, but we're doing the very best that we can. So it was 2 days of orientation. And then I actually had the chance to travel down to St. Paul and just kind of tour the state office building and the Capitol and the House chambers. And it was extremely empowering because I keep saying it's like the first thing that actually felt real throughout this whole campaign.
Wow.
Because, you know, I did all my campaigning virtually. I didn't go door to door. I didn't go do events. And so, of course, I wore my moccasins. You know, that was the plan this whole time, but also it happened to be the week that we're like Rock Your Mocs, you know, Native American Heritage Month.
Right on.
But I just wanted to be sure that the very first time that I set foot in the House chamber on that floor, that I was really bringing the depth of who I am into that work. I also wore my ribbon skirt, and very intentional, my ribbon skirt that's designed with a rainbow, just making sure that the work that I do, you know, is always in favor of Mother Earth, but also, you know, LGBTQ and Two-Spirit brothers and sisters as well.
Yeah, that's exciting. And, you know, not to get too deep here, but I know when we were being colonized, the first people that they killed were the medicine men and our two-spirit brothers and sisters because of their power. So it's great to see us come back to a good way.
Yeah. Well, and there's also, like, as history kind of tells itself, like, you know, my tribe and my people actually started out in the Minnesota area, you know, and we were really forced and moved down to the Dakotas. And so, you know, it's kind of interesting. I know when we were on the symposium this last weekend, we kind of talked a little bit about that and just the historical piece of coming back and really doing work on the really original lands of my people.
I know that's totally exciting. And so the feeling, I know Lieutenant Governor talks about walking through the doors of two worlds. How did that feel for you just walking through into the chambers? You know, what was your big feeling there?
Yeah. You know, it's just so surreal. And I think that often we feel like we have to put our culture away to do this work. And the reality is, like, our culture is so important. And if we kind of work to make change with the mind frame of inclusion and understanding and different capacities that our culture and our beliefs, you know, bring to the table, I think we can actually do a lot of good. And so, you know, switching from that mind frame that we have to put our culture away, you know, to work in this world can be really dangerous. And so I'm excited. You know, I tell Peggy all the time, she's been such a phenomenal leader in that bridge of culture and state leadership that it's really nice to join the crew of amazing women that are doing this work in our state.
We'll talk about that for a second, too, because I know we had a discussion, a really cool discussion about some swag and some coffee cups. Can you talk to our audience a little bit about that? Because that is very, very cool.
Yeah, well, I think that we've all talked about representation and how that matters. And when we see people who look like us in spaces, that can be very powerful. But, you know, the one powerful thing is there's four of us. So there's Peggy Flanagan, Lieutenant Governor, Mary Kunish, who now is elected into the Senate, Jamie Beckerfin, and I, who are in the House now. So there's four women. And culturally, we know, you know, that four is so powerful in our culture. And when we come together and we're all kind of at different tables and different levels of leadership, and we all really honestly communicate with each other and, you know, are really invested in building this powerful relationship to, you know, stand up for who we are, yet still very much represent, you know, our communities that we're here to serve. So, yeah, we have coffee mugs or tea mugs and stickers that say, you know, Peggy, Mary, Jamie, Heather, Indigenous Women Lead. So we're really excited about that. And if nothing else, hopefully it's planting the seeds for other people to join us or our next generations to really see themselves in the work that we do.
Yeah, and you know, when you were speaking then, too, with these doors opening and you guys walking through them with your mocks, we always have to give a shout-out to Deb Allen, too.
Yeah, well, she led the way from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like the doors weren't open, really, until, you know, the very first step was taken. And so, yeah, they're big, you know, moccasins to feel sometimes that we know that people have been there and started to plant those seeds and really start the work. And, you know, I just really hope that I can continue that movement and just be a part of the bigger change, really.
Well, you definitely are. And I just want to say really excited to have you on the show whenever your capacity is able to, and to get your perspective and also how you're supporting your community up there in Moorhead, which can be considered the Deep North in a lot of ways, that you won a big election there, but also that there's so much support for you. And I think that really talks about how diverse your community has really become over the years.
Yeah, I mean, we're very much a blue island in a red sea up here. But, you know, I will say it, I do give a lot of credit to my community and that people are really excited about supporting me. You know, it's not just like they checked the box and kept it moving. Like, there's a lot of excitement and people keep reaching out to me and telling me how much this really means to them. It's crazy because I remember having conversations with women, you know, in their 70s, 80s that were almost in tears by the fact that they could vote for a female, let alone, you know, a minority female is just something they weren't sure they were ever going to be able to do in our community for a state level position. And so, It's just amazing, you know, what your community can do and how much that encouragement and support really does mean and how empowering that is.
Wow, that's perfect. And we're going to end it that way. So congratulations. We're so proud of you. And we really know good things are going to come through your, you know, I'm going to start calling you governor because I think someday you're going to be governor. But this was Heather Keeler, House Rep-elect, District 4A. Thank you so much for being on Native Roots Radio. And thank you so much for being you.
Oh, Pilame, Robert, I always appreciate you.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Hello, my relatives. My name is Nisko Gimiwan. I'd like to remind you guys of different ways to keep safe during this holiday season. The holidays are approaching and you may have travel plans to see family and loved ones. Take a moment to consider the risk. Would you be putting vulnerable loved ones at risk for infection? Is it worth it to spread the virus to loved ones of other families? Make this holiday a safe one. If you celebrate Thanksgiving, host a dinner with those already living with you. Join family this year on a video calling app. Pick a favorite movie to watch together, and drop off a dish to your neighbors to spread holiday cheer. If we compromise this holiday season, we can ensure that we will see everyone at the next holiday dinner table. And most importantly, if you feel sick, stay home. This COVID information guideline is brought to you by Ramsey County and Ramsey County Investment and Support Efforts.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, couldn't cut it even.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Hour 2. This show is dedicated to those who give back and fight back for our people. We are the resistance. We are awake. All things are our relatives. What we do to everything, we do to ourselves. All is one, Black Elk. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many, 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 many years.
Making me sound old.
Hey, she is a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States, and she works on animal issues at the state level. Wendy, welcome, and Pini Gigi for always being on and talking about our sacred animals. And you've been one of the few people who have been on the show almost every week.
Yeah, every week. It's my pleasure, actually.
Tell us your name and what you want to talk about.
Yeah, my name is Hanajihi Hani, and that means cares for them. And as everybody knows, I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. So as always, thank you, Curtis. So, you know, Robert, we've been to New York City for Christmas in the past, and then we see the Christmas tree in Rockefeller mm-hmm. Center, right? Mm-hmm. Well, this year, I have an article here from, it's an NBC Animal News, that a tiny owl was found after the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree was cut down in upstate New York, then trucked to New York City, and it's recovering in a wildlife rehabilitation facility. In a Facebook post on Tuesday, that's last week, the Ravensbeard Wildlife Center said the bird was rescued after the 75-foot Norway spruce was cut down Thursday in Oneonta, roughly 180 miles southwest of Albany and around 170 miles north of its final stop in New York City. And a worker who helped transport and secure the tree discovered the owl and his wife called the center. But it makes me kind of sad that, you know, we're cutting down a big tree, like a 75-foot tree, right, to put in Rockefeller Center, decorate it. And after a few weeks, it's torn down, and I don't know what they do to it. They probably just throw it away, right? They can't regrow it. So it's, I don't know, I just feel like, you know, they cut down this owl's house. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like maybe they should start thinking about using like a sustainable or a reusable or maybe an artificial tree that they could use every year over and over again instead of, I mean, a 75-foot spruce takes how many years to grow?
I don't know. Was it 75 or 45?
75 foot.
Wow.
75-foot Norway spruce.
That's so big.
That's really big. So I'm imagining it would take decades.
Yeah.
Right? To grow? I don't know. But yeah, anyway, the little owl, I'll post a picture of him. He's adorable. Oh, my God. And he's one of the smallest owls that lives in the United States here. So really cute little thing. Poor little owl. So hopefully he'll be okay. But he went all the way those miles, for miles and miles, wrapped up in the tree. He was dehydrated and hungry when he got to New York City. So it was kind of sad. I have another article here that I'm very happy to talk about. If you remember, a few weeks ago, I was talking about how the Trump administration was allowing trophy hunters to go to Alaska and kill brown bears by baiting them. So putting down, you know, like donuts and, you know, food, put it out for them, and then the bears would come out into the open, and then the trophy hunters would kill the bears. But I have an article here from the Humane Society of the United States, the Humane World, which is Kitty Block's blog. Mm-hmm. And Kitty Block is the CEO and president of the Humane Society of the United States. And as always, I always like to say that I think it's apropos that CEO mm-hmm. and president of the Humane Society of the United States' first name is Kitty.
Could, yeah, or last name Kitty Dog or Doug, you know,
it's
or Kitty
Block.
Kitty Bear. Or
but her first name's Kitty. Yeah. But this article was by Kitty Block and Sarah M. Edmondson. And we have a victory here. A federal court has ruled that brown bears in Alaska, Kenya, National Wildlife Refuge should continue to be protected from the cruel and biologically unsound hunting practices of baiting. And this is where I said before, they lure the animals with piles of rotting food and donuts and pastries, and then they kill them. The Humane Society of the United States and their coalition partners led by trustees for Alaska interviewed in a lawsuit in 2017 to defend an Obama administration rule that, among other protections, banned the baiting of brown bears. They did so because the state of Alaska and trophy hunting groups, including Safari Club International, went to court soon after the rule was finalized in 2016 to try and overturn it. Hmm. So there's a big group of people from the Safari Club International, and there's thousands of members. Thousands of members who just want to go out and, you know, there's one thing about hunting, you know, hunting and praying over an animal and killing it to eat it and using all its parts, and using its fur for, you know, tradition in the native way. And there's something totally different about just baiting an animal and killing it with a high-powered rifle to let its body just rot and to hang their bare head on the wall. So that's very upsetting to me. Well, Judge Sharon L. Gleason, excuse me, of the federal court for the District of Alaska sided with HSUS on maintaining protections for the brown bears, ruling that state law does not control federal wildlife management on federal lands such as the Kenya National Wildlife Refuge. The judge also discussed the extreme harm that baiting does to vulnerable brown bear populations and held that it was reasonable for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to be concerned that potentially habituating bears to human food could create dangerous bear-human interactions, right? So we have to think about that too, because then the bears get used to eating that food and taking it from the humans. So I'm really happy about this victory. And I'm glad that the little owl who traveled from upstate New York to New York City in the Douglas fir, is doing okay. And maybe they should check the tree for animals first before they cut it down.
Well, always. And we had issues. I'll leave it at this, and maybe you can give me 10 seconds of this. We had issues when we had our trees trimmed in the backyard.
Yep, I remember that.
And it was very sad, and the way they stripped our tree down, and all the squirrels that live in our trees were... Took years for them to come back.
Yeah, they were devastated.
Yeah.
Even after we asked the tree company to be careful, they just came here while we weren't home and cut down the tree.
I know. We don't want to relive that. I think I just pushed a button there. But say thank you so much for talking about our sacred animals the way you do every week. And thank you so much, Wendy Pilot.
Thank you, Robert.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Lusa Nation.
Buju and Ndinawe Magani Duke. Misko Gimiwan Indijinakan. Hello, my relatives. My name is Misko Gimiwan. I'd like to remind you guys of different ways to keep safe during this holiday season. Help us lower the curve to keep medical resources available to those that need them. Follow the new governor's guidelines. Private parties and celebrations may no longer take place from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. There is a 50-person limit to attend receptions and celebrations. Restaurants and bars must end services from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. Bars must end counter service. Restaurants and bars have been doing a great job keeping their employees and customers safe. But the pandemic has become more widespread, and we must take more precautions at preventing the spread of the virus. Gathering places are much more dangerous than they were even a month ago. Chances are that wherever we go, there will be someone infected with the virus. Help our community contain the virus so that we can safely reopen businesses, reopen schools, and see our loved ones. This COVID information guideline is brought to you by Ramsey County and Ramsey County Investment and Support Efforts.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakan Jahade. Hey, we haven't talked to Red Dawn Foster in a while, and she's a South Dakota re-elected state senator. Pini Gigi, thank you so much for coming on and giving us an update in South Dakota and your life.
Thank you, Robert. It's wonderful to be here.
Yeah, so it's hard not to... talk about this, but let's first talk about how exciting it was to get reelected. And I know we talked a little bit about it last time we spoke, and it was like you went to bed and you were behind, and you woke up and you won the election again.
Yes, it's been good. That was a whirlwind, and we've hit the ground running, working on legislation, preparing for this next session, and also just because the election is over, getting off the boat is not. So we're still working on how can we build the infrastructure to make sure that Natives have that in civic engagement and that we're building upon it. So we're still doing that work.
Yeah, and I think we've all, excuse the pun here because the name of the show is Awake, have awoken to, this is, in 2 years from now, we have another election, and that we need to, you know, to stay engaged and keep our people engaged, because we really, in some states, made a big difference. I think it was Arizona, where there were 76,000 votes out of Navajo Nation, and 74,000 voted for Joe Biden. So, that turned that state totally. And then we had 9,000 people, Native Americans, newly registered up in the deep north in Minnesota here. And that new people running, or new people voting, made a big difference up there.
Yes, yes. You see that collective power influencing national elections. And then I can't emphasize how big of a difference it makes at the local level. I was completely voted in by the Oyate, by the, you know, the Ogallalas on our reservation. As you said, I went to bed thinking I could lose, and I'm behind by over 1,000 votes. And is that possible to make that up? And yeah, I woke up and everyone came and voted, and it was my community that voted. So we definitely collectively have a lot of power and can really make an influence, not just at the national level, but at the local level.
Yeah, that's part of the great reason why I love talking to you, because we get grounded back about how much power we do have, and you always remind our audience and myself of that. So it's hard with what's going on here in Turtle Island, and I know here we're not going to be doing any celebrating Thanksgiving Day. None of our kids are coming over because they don't live in our house, and it's going to be a different thing with this COVID and shutting down. What's a update here in South Dakota? I know you guys have really gotten hit hard.
Yes, we've been hit hard. Now, North Dakota and South Dakota are considered the worst in the world, the biggest hotspots, that even at the peak, which was considered the peak, that our numbers are completely off the charts. So we're doing a lot of work. Our governor is not supportive of a mask mandate. And so as legislators, as leaders that are supposed to be in the position to protect our community, we've really encouraged her to, even if you don't do that mask mandate through legislation, to start the communication of how important wearing a mask is. It's about keeping others safe, but also keeping yours safe. And it's just one of the elements to a full spectrum of how we can beat this COVID. I mean, looking at our health, the vitamin D, social distancing, the ventilation, using a humidifier, and masks. I mean, it really is about, we have the freedom to protect each other and to make sure that our community makes it through this. And economically, we are going to have a much bigger devastation of the fallout and the economic impacts of losing community members, being out of employment because of COVID, versus pretending it doesn't exist and going as business as usual. So yeah, it's a fight here. We are literally fighting for our lives.
Yeah, I know. And that can't be overstated, because we all know people that have been affected. We all see our relatives all over Turtle Island not making it through this. And our communities all over the country have been hit so hard, death-wise, and the percentage of Native and Indigenous people passing away because of this deadly COVID. And, you know, it's just, it's just really disheartening and sad to see that.
No, it is. It is. This past week alone was pretty devastating. We had three fluent language speakers. Elders passed away this week. So, you know, not only did we lose our, you know, our most beloved community members that are so, you know, our grandmothers that are so important to us, but we lost all this knowledge and language with them. And we were at the point of really trying to revitalize it. And so we're racing against time. And we're such a tight-knit community that we don't want to lose anybody, but especially someone who's so important to who we are as a people.
Yeah, that's super sad, and especially the way you put it. But there's good things, and I think all around Turtle Island, and it's fun to talk to you about national stuff too, not just South Dakota stuff. But we had like 130 candidates, Native candidates across the Turtle Island that ran for office, and I think a big percentage of them, I know a big percentage of them won.
Yes, it's amazing. you see the collective political power that we've built over the last several years of just saying that not only are we swinging these elections, but we are the ones becoming elected. And we're never going back. This is just going to continue to build. We're normalizing it. One of the things that we're working on in our community to ensure that this civic engagement, leadership, representation continues is that I'm working on a book. And it's a children's book that is geared towards first and second graders. And it's called When I Grow Up, I Want to Be a Lawmaker. And it's going to be one of the first touch points of instilling that civic engagement in our youth. And then it's part of a bigger curriculum because middle school students will then have the legislative day, which will begin with Democracy is Indigenous. And it will talk about how the Iroquois Confederacy influenced democracy. And it was based on that. So,
wow.
And then it goes, yeah. So we're really, really excited about it. And then again, high school touch point. So all through these lives, not only are we making sure that our citizens are informed and engaged, but also develop that leadership for political, legal, political and legal representation. Because in South Dakota, we have 5 Native legislators at the state level, and I know that in the next, within my lifetime, we are going to see a U.S. candidate for governor. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, totally. And wow, that's exciting. So did you say you're making the book?
Yes, I'm doing the book. So we've been working on it for a little bit, but it's pretty exciting.
That's really exciting. That's really exciting. And we have Heather Keeler on here on the show weekly now too. And just to see her journey, and we have 4 rock stars, a lieutenant governor, state representative, and 2 House representatives here in Minnesota that are rocking the vote basically in the Capitol every day. So it's exciting to expand that. And, I'm really excited. So, I just want to say thank you for being on, and thank you so much for all you do. And it's great that you have the support of your people and your family, because we worry about you here in Native Roots Radio, and we're glad that you're doing well.
Thank you. Yeah, no, we're going through a very hard, trying time, but we are pulling together as a community. And one of the things that I say is, what I've seen us pull together during trying times is through love and support. It's amazing what we can accomplish and what we can overcome. So I think that we really appreciate that.
Well, Pinigigi for being on. That's Red Dawn Foster, a South Dakota State Senator. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Hamitakevi, Madison Hanmiacho, Oyatemi Tala King Ogola Nabitawakatwa, and we chalk y'all pixto. Hello, my relatives. My name is Madison Hand, and I'd like to remind you of the ways we can keep each other safe during the COVID-19 pandemic. Right now, COVID cases are higher in number than ever before in our communities, making it more important to follow safety guidelines than ever before. Each individual choice we make will have widespread consequences for all of us. Being safe helps keep people out of the hospital. Help those around you by doing the following. Wear a mask and make sure your mask covers your mouth and nose. Social distance in public as best as you can. Get tested if you are possibly exposed to COVID. And stay home if you feel sick. Remember, our choices directly affect the health of our family, friends, and community. Free masks are available. Visit ramseycounty.us/a mask for everyone. This information guide is brought to you by Ramsey County and Ramsey County Investment and Support Efforts.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakanja Hare. Each week, I love saying this, each week we have Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350 and also of Rise and also the co-host of Native Roots Radio Presents, The Native Wave. And that'll be really kicking in here soon. I think that's the name. And this is Nancy Bolio. Welcome.
Well, good afternoon, Robert, and just for our listeners out there, I'm also a citizen of Leech Lake, grandma, an auntie, and a water protector, and I would like to share a little reading that I came across, and I'm going to read that right now. We are all heroes on this journey, and we are all under siege. We will not be able to drink the water unless we stop the black snake, and we will die without water. We will not be able to breathe the air or eat the food without getting sick unless the scientific experimentations upon us are stopped. We will not be able to remember who we are and will vanish or kill each other off for the benefit of a very few who have no care, but for their profits. Unless we come to terms with the fact that there is no leader to magically come and do this for us, what we each must do for ourselves, we will perish. We must come together and stop postponing what we might do for fear or for our inevitable death, for some lack of information. We know way too much. Rise, peaceful warriors, rise. So, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic, Robert, and our governor, Tim Walz, has decided to go forward with the Line 3 pipeline here in northern Minnesota, and he's on the radio talking about how critical it is to stay home, but yet he's okay with the influx of out-of-state skilled workers to put this pipeline in. And, you know, our hospitals here in northern Minnesota were under stress already. It's everywhere in Minnesota, everywhere in America, that our hospitals can't keep up with this pandemic, but yet it's okay to send in pipeline people to come here and spread the pandemic even in the worst way. So we need to actually step up. We need to rise up, and we need to start being more proactive. And we could do that by making phone calls. You can call the Attorney General, Keith Ellison, at 651-296-3353 and tell him to file a stay on the construction. You can also call Grace Arnold, and she's the Acting Commissioner of Commerce. You can call her at 651-539-1441. And she, too, should be filing an injunction on the construction of Line 3. You can also, we know, Robert, there was a few people arrested, three people arrested in two inlets, Minnesota, and two of the water protectors locked themselves down to machinery. They're out of jail, but of course, you still have to go to court and whatnot. So you can donate, you know, to the Legal Defense Fund for our people, and you can find that at stopline3.org online, and make a contribution to the legal fund, even if it's $5, if it's $10, it all helps. And so we got to make sure that we have the legal money to get our courageous water protectors who are willing to be arrested to stop this pipeline. And you know what warms my heart most is that us Native people don't have to always put ourselves on the front line like we used to. Like we've seen at Standing Rock, we see more of our non-Native allies stepping up. And so, you know, they're treated a little bit better. They get out quicker than we do. They're not cuffed and stuffed, you know. So I think, you know, to me that just gives me a little hope that we don't have to go to jail as much as we did last time. So jail's not a fun place to be. And then we're also, this last week, Robert, we had Give to the Max.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it's not even too late to give to the Max.
So,
you can find your most favorite nonprofit organization out there and look them up and still give to the Max, because, you know, it takes money to organize, and we know politicians have a lot of money to oppress us, but we need a lot of money to rise. So I encourage listeners out there to donate to your favorite organization. And then on Sunday, too, Robert, if you want to get involved, you know, with Minnesota 350, we are having an open house on Sunday, a virtual open house, and that starts at 8 o'clock. And I'm telling people this because there are people that want to get involved, and they don't know how to get involved. And we need more help now than ever before because of the Line 3 resistance that's starting to take place. And so I encourage people to sign the Pledge of Resistance at Minnesota 350 and sign up and help support the resistance. And you can do that behind the scenes, you know, mm-hmm. or on the front line. You can donate money. There's so many different ways mm-hmm. to help. And I'm just asking our listeners out there to support the water protectors out there and the organizations that are trying to stop this pipeline, especially our friends at the Headwaters. Without that group of people, Robert, I think that pipeline would have been through many years ago, but they started the initial resistance and they still need some support with their legal defense as well. So the Friends of the Headwaters could really use support. So all you people out there listening, look them up. They're a great group of people here in northern Minnesota. And they're not frontliners. You won't see them out and about, but they sure know how to put up a fight in the court. So wow. I encourage, you know, give some money to them, Robert. I want you to dig in your pocket, too.
Hey, so. Hey. Yeah, I will. So is that 8 p.m. on Sunday?
Yes, it's at 8 p.m., and you can find the link on our page on Facebook, Minnesota 350, and it's a welcome, you know, event. It's going to tell you about our campaigns and all the different ways you can get involved. And if you just want to hear about it and you're not quite ready, I think, you know, that's another good way to show up. We're not asking you to make a, you know, a commitment the first time. Just listen and think about it. And then maybe you want to come back at a later date. But, you know, here at MN350, Robert, we're, you know, for environmental and racial justice. So there's different ways you can help. And, you know, Robert, I think we're all really good-hearted people at MN350. And personally, even myself, I've grown so much and learned so much more in these last 3 years that I don't think I could be happy in another place of employment because this is who I am. And I think we all have a little piece of resistance inside of ourselves. And we're built with some resilience in our DNA as well. So you got to light that fire and mm-hmm. just show up in a good way. And, you know, that's what I'm telling people. It's not the government, like that little saying I just read. There's not going to be not one politician that's magically going to fix things for us. It's the people that create change. And so, you know, I'm encouraging people, show up. And when we stand together, we don't stand alone. And it's not a scary place to be. It's actually a beautiful movement. You're going to make friends. You probably actually find a new family out of it. Your extended family will grow. And, you know, mm-hmm. this is one of the best places I've been in the last 3 years. And so I'm excited to bring more people on board. And I'm inviting people today to join us tomorrow at 8 p.m. And we have one more good piece of news, Robert. Mm-hmm. Got two thumbs up from our executive directors at MN350 to start having conversation about launching a Native People's campaign at Minnesota 350.
Awesome.
That's exciting. Yeah. And you know what we're going to find under that is we're going to find treaty responsibility, missing and murdered Indigenous women. That work is already there. We're just going to, you know, elaborate on that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. We're going to have voter education, Native into politics, understanding our culture, standing in solidarity with our Native population, and Native Roots Radio is going to be on there. We're just going to have mm-hmm. one place where our Native relatives say, hey, I want to join and I want to find a place where I fit in. And we're kind of non-colonized, Robert. So yeah. Some of the campaigns at MN350 don't work for all of our people. So under, you know, those thinking kind of things like, well, you know, we don't think like we're colonized people. We just want to show up and spiritually resist. And this is why we decided that a people's campaign was important, a Native people's campaign, excuse me, at 350 was important. So our relatives feel they're welcome there, not to say mm-hmm. that they weren't. It's just we just need something more culturally appropriate for our people because we kind of resist in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to listen to our aunties and uncles and our elders every now and then, you know, and I think that's what makes the movement grow is just listening and learning as you go along. And I think we need that spiritual component to our resistance, and we're going to create more of that once we come together at MN350. And Misty Babineau and Gayatri from Minnesota 350, mm-hmm. they're actually, they have an open space where you, if you're feeling down or, you know, life is a little, you're in hardship, you can call and talk to someone at 350 and we're going to help you find your way.
Perfect.
And, yeah, so I think it's going to be just a welcoming space for our people, and I look so forward to it, even though it's going to mean a lot of work, Robert. A lot of hard work, good things come. So I think it's worth all the effort that we're going to put into it, and I'm really excited about that.
Perfect. Hey, thank you, Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350, Rise, and also co-host of the Blue Wave and the Native Wave, We Resist. Thank you so much for being on, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me, Robert, and you all have a good day, and stay safe out there.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. And I got that great name from my Daga here, my Choka of our family, Uncle Curtis. Thank you so much for that strong name, and thank you for all you do for our family.
Ha-ho, Pinagigi Chushke. My name is Mashke Hanajinga. I walk on a white cloud. My colonized name is Curtis West. And I always got to give a shout-out to my beautiful wife, baby girl Kim, and I want to say congratulations to her for her her new job and her 1 month anniversary at Results Thailand. Why I said, I gave her a plug right there. So, so anyway, I want to say hello to all my family and relatives and friends in Four Directions. We pray all is well. You know, remember to mask up, social distance, wash your hands. And I want to tell all you Minnesota folks that remember there's a new state mandate that all the bars and restaurants are curbside service only. All the gyms and spas, high school and youth sports are on hold till possibly December 18th, you know, and I just want to give you a mention on that if you didn't see the news. But my Chushka here lets me express myself for a few minutes on different items like birthdays, events, shout outs. So he's going to help me with the shout outs, which I really appreciate, you know. So I'm going to start out with some birthdays, and these are all special birthday wishes to everybody, and especially to the elders. But I'm going to start off with a birthday shout out to Mary Kay Kunish and her twin bro. I want to say happy birthday to you two people. I love you guys, man. And then we got a nephew out here, Jordan Morgan. You know, that's my sister Linda's grandson, you know. So another one we want to give a shout-out, and I know he's listening. I want to give a shout-out birthday wish to Tommy Tomahawk over there. And I guess he's up north right now. So say happy birthday, Tommy. And then over there, we want to say happy birthday to Hino Stephanie Yellowbank. She's our go-to person at the branch office here at Ho-Chunk Nation in Twin Cities here. But happy birthday. Another special shout-out out here to a friend of ours. I want to say happy birthday to Coleman Stevens. So happy birthday, Coleman. And then, like I said, you know, we got a lot of elder birthdays that are coming up here. And like I always say, you know, and I'm not tired of saying it, you know, look out for your elders, you know, during this pandemic. And even without the pandemic, look after them. See if they need anything, any food, maybe get your meds picked up or just check in, maybe a call, you know. So, but I want to say happy birthday to my Nunu. And I don't know how old she is, but she wouldn't tell me. So I want to say happy birthday to my sister, my Nunu, Barbie Cherry. She's over there in Wisconsin, but she wouldn't tell me her age. I try to talk to her about it, but so I gave up on that question. So, but anyway, I want to say happy birthday to Robert Yellowbank, another elder, Robert Mudd, Dale Lone Tree, Errol Whitewing, and I want to say happy birthday to every one of them, man, and many, many more blessed ones. So I'm going to give some shout outs here and then get some events a little bit later on, but I want to give a shout out right now to remember you D4 members up here in the Twin Cities, and you know, Robert Pilot is running for D4 legislator. So I'd like you to sign that sheet. You know, you can call him or call me, his campaign manager. But please, let's get Robert into that third seat. There's three open, so but remember to call him or call me, and we'll get you set up on here. And then another shout out I want to give to he didn't have no information really for me for the Red Lake Nation or anything like that, but he's my Native Roots Radio on the spot reporter from Minneapolis. I want to say a shout out to Jerry Ogden, the Waboose, the rabbit over there. And, I want to say Pinigigigi, he got me some wild rice, what I needed for Thanksgiving. But so I want to say thank you to Pinigigi Miigwech to Augie. And anyway, the other one, a shout out I want to give, and I'll do that every week. I want to shout out to American Indian Movement. You know, I got to do that every week. I got to say shout out to Clyde, Frank, and Lisa, and everybody else that's involved, you know, so American Indian Movement. And then the other one I really wanted to say thank you during this pandemic and shout out to him. You know, nobody can go out and listen to him live because Corey Ray White is a good musician. He's Ho-Chunk too, you know. And I want to thank him for the jams that he's doing on lockdown, his private concerts and online. And I want to say Pinigigi to him too for the beautiful song. He sang a beautiful song for my baby girl on her birthday, and it was very touching to her. So I want to say Pinigigi to you, Corey. And the other one, important announcement before we get into the event. So the Ho-Chunk Housing Department is currently still offering assistance with rent and mortgage and utilities. Please call Dawn Wessels at 800-236-2260, extension 8824 for applications. And also remember, Ho-Chunk Nation members, that December 1st is the last PC, and but they got a thing to log in on HoChunkNation.com for an application now, and kind of like a little survey how the COVID 19 let them know how COVID 19 affected you. You know, if you're out of work or you're spending all your money on your food, masks, and gloves, mm-hmm. etc. You got help coming, so just do it. So go on to that HoChunkNation.com. And the other thing I wanted to say before I get going here is that Pfizer. Pharmaceutical, they got a vaccine coming out that's 95% mm-hmm. effective, and Ho-Chunk Nation is working on it for the nation, and it'll be in effect in Wisconsin first, and Representative Paul Fox says it could be here in D4 by December 29th. So, so I'm going to turn this over to Robert. I just got a one or two events, so I'm going to let Robert shout at you for a few important events.
Oh, Pinigigi, Uncle Curtis. Yesterday was the anniversary of the takeover of Alcatraz, one of the most important events in modern Native history. I want to acknowledge that, Uncle Curtis, before we move on. And then also, I just want to say, hey, thank you, Pinigigi, for everyone that's been donating in our Patreon, Patreon.com/Native Roots Radio Network. We wouldn't be here without you, and thank you for all your support, and I just want to say that. And then also, just to give a shout-out that we do a symposium this week. The symposium is going to be on Line 3, which is happening via our governor signing that. So we're going to be ready to show us some good strength and talk about it and what the next steps are. And we'll have Winona LaDuke on and Tara Hauska on this Sunday. Also... we have a Pilots Progressive Party on Wednesday from 5 to 6, and we also do what is now being new branded, Native Roots Radio Presents the Native Wave. So that's going to be on Tuesdays at 2. And just thank you, Pinigigi, Uncle Curtis, and everyone out there listening. Do you have a couple more announcements?
I got one really good one today that's coming on at 5 o'clock today. It's going to be an online event. It's called the Americana Indian Show Sale. It's they got jewelry, artwork, and different other things on there. But that's at 5 today, and you just go on AmericanaIndianShowSale.com. And I want to say I got just a couple more things before I got something else for you, Tuske. It'll take me real quick. I'm just asking for all you prayer warriors out there. You know. Say some prayers for my brother Carson, my cousin Lonnie McKee, George Hushy Green Deer, and Andrea Kingston. You know, and I'd like you to just say a quick prayer for him. You know, and I appreciate that.
Oh, hey, do you have a closing Native thought?
Yeah, I got a little just a quick Native wisdom, and I really liked it today, and. It said, respect is not a commodity. Respect is a way of being.
I would like to end with these thoughts. If you are listening to the show, you are the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I've been your host, Robert Pilot. The revolution is kicking into high gear, and I would like to thank all my listening audience, our sponsors, and especially our guests, which make this show. If you are listening to this show, you are the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier.